I know how to run a hair salon, but for small business insurance, I chose my State Farm agent. She's a small business owner too, so she knew how to help me personalize my policies. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to an agent today.
Before we get into this week's showdown, we want to share something amazing with you.
We want to tell you all about our newest sponsor, Watercrock Meals. Our family is so busy after school and after work. We have basketball, soccer, piano, and of course, podcasting.
And things will get even crazier in the spring when other activities are added to our already jam-packed days. With everything going on, it's hard to find the time to prepare dinner for the family.
Introducing Watercrock Meals. Watercrock has dozens of meals that can be shipped to your house. And here's the best part. All you have to do is drop the meal into your slow cooker, and after a few hours, you'll have a delicious and nutritious meal for the whole family to enjoy.
We've tried the honey garlic chicken and the beef and broccoli, and they were amazing.
We also love their chocolate molten cake, which was super chocolatey, gooey, and yummy. If you're looking for a super easy solution for dinner, you need to check out Watercrock.
But wait, there's more. If you use code SHOWDOWN at checkout, you will get $10 off your first order. No need to search for their website because you could simply use the link in the episode notes and the link will take you straight there. Take the hassle out of dinner with delicious meals from Watercrock. Great sibling showdown! In the very first episode, Olivia and Noah debated whether zoos should exist. Olivia said they should exist, and Noah said that they shouldn't. They did a great job trying to convince you that they were right. And then, after all the dust settled, you voted to let us know what you think. We are overwhelmed by how many listeners took a minute or two to share their thoughts on the debate. We read each and every one of your votes, and we are going to share the results with you in just a minute. But before we do that...
Mailbag! Mailbag!
You didn't think mailbag was going away, did you? Of course not. Olivia and Noah are about to share some of their favorite replies from listeners that agreed with them on the zoo debate. First up, Olivia.
Killian from Salem, Oregon says that zoos are important research and awareness facilities. Most zoos protect animals and have created more natural habitats for the animals. Henry and Elliot from Cheltenham, England say that it was quite a close argument and it was difficult. We eventually decided that zoos should exist, mainly because my grandma's local zoo saved a group of elephants from being killed. Kian from Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada, says that you can visit exotic animals without the worry of them hurting you. Also, because zoos provide help for animals that are endangered.
Next up, Noah is going to share a couple of his favorite replies from listeners who also think that zoos should not exist.
Mia from Hanoi, Vietnam said, "Oh my god, I just finished listening to your first episode of Curious Kid Podcast Presents The Great Sibling Showdown. That voice effect was great, Jacob. Before listening, I felt that zoos should still exist, but in this debate, I feel that Noah presented a much clearer argument with this evidence. As he stated in the first round, instead of watching animals in captivity, perhaps even suffering, we can educate people through documentaries as they are really helpful. As a debater myself and the same age as Olivia, I think that Noah was able to provide a lot of evidence to support his case. You guys are so awesome. I'm a huge fan of your podcast, and I hope my response gets read on your next episode." Will from Hagerstown, Pennsylvania, said because animals sometimes can't eat what they usually eat in the wild. Isla from Auckland, New Zealand, said it's not nice for the animals because they get very sick at the zoos, and they don't get to live in their natural habitat and be with their family and friends.
And now, for the moment you've been waiting for, we are going to give the results of the first showdown. Hundreds of our listeners voted, and one of the sides of the debate was clearly a favorite for our listeners. Drum roll, please! With a whopping 59.3% of the total vote, most of our listeners think that zoos should exist.
Now, please don't forget, there is no right or wrong to these debates. The reason that we are debating these topics is that there are really good points to be made for and against. The important thing is that everyone can share their opinions. It's also good to keep an open mind. A few of our listeners even told us that their minds were changed after listening to us debate in the first episode. Hopefully, these debates are a great conversation starter with friends, family, and classmates. People might have different opinions, and that's a wonderful thing.
Noah, I couldn't agree more. Now that we've reviewed the results from showdown number one, should zoos exist, it's time to move on to the second showdown. The showdown topic for this week, should junk food be allowed in school cafeterias? Many of you probably listened to the first episode of the Great Sibling Showdown, but just in case you didn't, here are the rules. I'm going to introduce the topic first, then Olivia and Noah are going to have three different rounds of debate. Olivia will argue that junk food should be allowed in school cafeterias, and Noah will argue that junk food should not be allowed in school cafeterias. Olivia is going to start things off, then Noah will have a chance to reply to what she says. Then, we're going to give Noah a chance to make his point, followed by Olivia's reply. Finally, in the very important third and final round, both Olivia and Noah will have just 1 minute to make their closing remarks and convince you that they're right. And then here's the best part. It's going to be up to you, our amazing listeners, to let us know what you think. Should junk food be allowed in school cafeterias? If you think about the responsibility of the schools we go to, we know that the primary purpose of schools is to teach the students that learn there. But what responsibility do the schools have to encourage healthy eating habits? In the United States, school lunch programs started all the way back in the late 1800s in Boston and Philadelphia. In Philadelphia, for example, hot meals were being served for just a penny in high schools all the way back in the year 1894. Back then, schools started to serve food knowing that many students lived in poverty, which meant that they might not have the money or resources to get a healthy meal even at home. The school meals were so successful in Boston and Philadelphia that before long, they were being served across the United States. In the 1930s, during the Great Depression, when many people struggled to afford food, the United States government stepped in and made sure that school students could get meals from school. By 1941, 2 million lunches were being served at school cafeterias across the United States. Within a few decades, as more people were able to afford nutritious meals at home, the government cut spending for school lunch programs, and as a result, less healthy options became available. In the year 2010, in an effort to provide healthier options, Congress passed something called the Healthy, Hunger-Free Kids Act. The act had the goal of making school lunches healthier. Even though they may have succeeded in providing healthier lunches, many kids found the options not so tasty. As a result, less kids were buying school lunches, and many students were choosing not to eat anything at all, rather than eat the new, healthier options. Okay, let's start round one of the showdown between Olivia and Noah. Olivia, why do you think junk food should be allowed in school cafeterias?
It's because the school children need to eat something. Think about it. You've tried to get me to eat a few healthy things before. Sometimes, after a lot of begging, I try the food.
Lots of times I don't try it, even though you encourage me to. Now, what do you think would happen if I was served some healthy food I didn't care for at school? Do you think I would eat it? Or do you think I would just pick the food I like? Or maybe not even eat anything at all? Providing only healthy options in school cafeterias makes it much more likely that kids will just skip a meal altogether. And not eating is also not healthy, and it may be even worse than eating junk food. It's important for kids to have lots of options at school cafeterias. It's not good to eat junk food all the time, but a little junk food here and there isn't harmful. Instead of providing only healthy food at school, healthy and non-healthy options should be available, and kids should be encouraged to make good decisions when it comes to the food they eat. Studies have shown that teaching kids to make healthier decisions regarding food pays off as the kids grow older, and many people will keep on making those healthier decisions in the future. By removing the ability for kids to make a choice, kids aren't able to make good decisions, choosing healthy food over junk food. In many cases, the only choice left for a student to make is to eat some food they don't like or to skip a meal. Nice try, Olivia. Do you really think you're going to be able to fool our listeners with the whole children need to be able to make their own healthy choices argument? Listeners, I have a question for you. Did you ever believe or did you know any kids that believe that eating watermelon seeds will make an entire watermelon grow inside of you? How about this one? Have you ever heard that stepping on a crack could break your mother's back? Did you ever think that you need to be careful when the bathtub is being drained so that you don't get stuck down the drain? Have you heard that if you swallow gum, it'll get stuck inside of your body for 7 years? Well, those are a few things that many kids believe and they get their friends to believe, and none of those things are true. Do you think these kids should have the chance to make healthy decisions about what they eat? I don't think so. If you give many children the choice between eating something healthy or non-healthy, then they will choose a non-healthy option. Eating junk food in school increases the risk of obesity, heart disease, diabetes, and stomach problems, and so much more. Schools should try their best to provide students with healthy options so kids can develop a taste for their healthy food. Once kids start eating junk food regularly, it's hard to encourage them to change over to healthy options.
Earning your degree online doesn't mean you have to go about it alone. At Capella University, we're here to support you when you're ready. From enrollment counselors who get to know you and your goals, to academic coaches who can help you form a plan to stay on track, we care about your success and are dedicated to helping you pursue your goals. Going back to school is a big step, but having support at every step of your academic journey can make a big difference. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
And that sound means the end of round one. Olivia and Noah are both off to a great start. Next up, in round two, Noah will have the chance to strike first. Noah, why shouldn't they serve junk food in school cafeterias?
Well, check out these statistics. In the United States, over 9 million kids between 6 and 19 years old are overweight. That's 3 times more than the number of overweight kids in 1980, the year before the government started spending less money on providing healthy school lunches. Kids who eat school lunches are 2% more likely to be obese than kids that bring their own lunches to school. But here's the good news. Removing junk food from school works. In the year 2007, the state of California removed junk food and soda from its high school vending machines. They also made other changes to limit the amount of junk food being served. What was the result? After the change, California high school students were eating 158 less calories per day than students in other states. That's about the amount of calories in a small bag of potato chips. In California, food eaten at school makes up 21.5% of the total calories eaten during the day. In other states, the number is much higher at 28.4%. This is proof that schools can make a big difference in making sure that kids eat healthier.
Oh, silly Noah. I'm about to drop a fact on you that's going to blow your mind. What if I told you this? What if I said that I eat all of the following in just one day? For breakfast, 3 fried egg sandwiches, 3 chocolate chip pancakes, a 5 egg omelet, 3 slices of French toast, and a bowl of grits. Yummy! For lunch, how about a pound of pasta and 2 ham and cheese sandwiches? Then for dinner, another pound of pasta, smothered in sauce, and a large pizza pie. That doesn't sound healthy, does it? What if I told you that someone ate like that each and every day for a long time? And that person is one of the best athletes of all time. Have you ever heard of Michael Phelps? He competed for the United States in Olympic swimming. He has more Olympic medals, 28 total, than anyone in history. The food I listed was the typical food he would eat in a single day. His goal was to eat between 8,000 and 10,000 calories per day. How was he able to do that and still be one of the best athletes in the world? Well, it's because he trained for 5 or 6 hours a day, 365 days a year. That allowed him to burn off many of those calories. This shows that being healthy is not all about eating healthy. A big part of being healthy is getting lots of exercise. Should schools require students to do very intense exercise and run really fast? Do lots of push-ups and jumping jacks and all that stuff? I don't think so. So why should schools be allowed to limit students to only healthy food?
Wow, that's the end of round 2. It's now time for closing arguments. Olivia and Noah only have 1 minute each to convince you that they're right, or perhaps to beg you to vote for their side in the showdown. We spun a wheel to see who gets the first shot at the closing argument. The wheel landed on Noah. All right, Noah, the pressure is on. You've got 1 minute and not a second more to convince us that junk food shouldn't be allowed in school cafeterias. Your minute starts right now.
All right, listeners. Breaking food down to 2 categories, healthy or junk, is not fair. I might say string cheese is healthy, but you might disagree. You might say pretzels are healthy, and I might disagree. There's a way to make school cafeteria options healthier than they are without making them so healthy that kids won't eat them. Instead of serving only healthy food, school cafeterias should serve healthier versions of foods that kids love. Kids love foods like pizza, pasta, chicken nuggets, and french fries. There are ways to prepare those foods and ingredients that can be used that can make sure that they are healthier than they would be at a place like a fast food restaurant. Let's make the food at school as healthy as possible and not rely on kids to make the choice to choose healthy over junk, because that doesn't work.
Nice work, Noah. Olivia, you're up. You have 1 last minute to convince us that junk food should be allowed in school cafeterias. And then you've got to zip your lip. Ready, set, go.
Noah, you're saying that schools are responsible for giving the students healthy food choices. But consider this. A study was done in the United Kingdom comparing the food served at school cafeterias with the food packed for kids at home. When parents pack lunches for their kids, do you think those lunches are healthy? If so, I have some news for you. 82% of packed lunches include potato chips or sweets, like cookies. And 61% include a sugary drink. Not only that, but more than 25% include chips, sweets, and a sugary drink. Only 1% of the packed lunches
kids bring to school in the United Kingdom would meet the nutritional standards to be served at the school. That leads to the question, why are schools responsible for keeping students healthy if parents aren't packing healthy foods for their children to eat?
Holy smokes! That was a great sibling showdown indeed. Both of you did a fantastic job debating with each other and making really good points along the way. Now that you've had your chance to convince the listeners, it's up to our amazing listeners to let us know what they think. In the episode notes, you will find a link to a survey that should only take a minute or two to complete. Let us know whether you think junk food should be allowed in school cafeterias and why you feel that way. We are going to share the results and some of our favorite comments in the next episode of The Great Sibling Showdown. Before we wrap things up, we have some amazing listeners to thank.
We want to thank a listener from Canada for a 5-star review.
We're not sure what the listener's name is, and the username is a few emojis, but the review says, Curious Kid Podcast is the best. Oh, I love Curious Kid Podcast. That's an awesome review.
We also want to thank our newest Patreon supporters, Gladys and Griffin.
A big thanks to Gladys and Griffin for the support. All of our Patreon supporters will get special bonus episodes of The Great Sibling Showdown every other week. To find out how to support the podcast by becoming a Patreon supporter for as little as 90 cents a month and get tons of extra perks for your support, check out the Patreon link in the episode notes. Don't forget to get your votes in and let us know who won this showdown. All votes must be in no later than Sunday, January 28th to be counted and included in the next showdown episode coming out on Sunday, February 4th. In that episode, Olivia and Noah will debate whether there should be only one universal language. As always, thank you so much for listening to Olivia and Noah debate in The Great Sibling Showdown!
Kings bring to school.
Kings?
Imagine earning a degree that prepares you with real skills for the real world. Capella University's programs teach skills relevant to your career so you can apply what you learn right away. Learn how Capella can make a difference in your life at capella.edu.